So different ways to destroy chametz. We're obligated to get rid of all the chametz. And general principle regarding kashering is kabbalah kachpalto. The same way that something absorbs, that's the same way that it will get rid of the chametz. So consequently, something that is used directly on fire has to be kashered by fire. Something used with boiling water has to be kashered by boiling water, and so on. Something which became chametz through water spilling on it, or chametz spilling on it, would have to be kashered by pouring boiling water over it. Okay, so the first type of kashering, the most strict, if you will, is Liban Gamur, which is heating to a glow, red hot, white hot. Self-cleaning oven is the equivalent of that, which means that anything you need to kasher, if you put in a self-cleaning oven, it will become kosher. It won't necessarily work for everything, because some things will just get ruined. But whatever you need to kasher, if you put in a self-cleaning oven, that's the highest level. It's like putting it directly on the fire. It's 1,200, 1,400 degrees, and so that's fine.
For how long?
The self-cleaning cycle. Whatever, 3 hours, I think it's a cycle. I mean, it could be a shorter cycle, but...
No, they have 3 and
it's 3 or 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 3 and more. Yeah.
So 3 hours. So
3 hours is enough. Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, no one's yeah. going to be so happy.
If your oven is, like, terribly dirty, then you could maybe 3 hours won't be clean, but I think 3 hours probably is sufficient. It only goes
through
on a temperature.
Clean it? And let it sit for 24 hours.
A self-cleaning oven does not need, no.
No?
So any other method of kashering other than Liban Gamur needs a 24-hour, clean it and wait 24 hours. If for some reason you find you can't wait 24 hours, such as you discover on Monday morning that you forgot to clean away 24 hours, you can put in what's called a pogame. So a pogame is something which smells terrible. So for example, I think ammonia works. I mean, certainly oven cleaner works, but ammonia also. Like if you just take a sponge and wipe ammonia all over something, that's a pogame. That smells terrible, tastes terrible. You can find it with the OU, so it's not treif, but you can put that on, and then you'll be able to kosher something which you didn't give a 24-hour wait. But self-cleaning does not require 24-hour wait. Blowtorching, similarly, I don't know if people do the blowtorch anymore, but blowtorching doesn't mean going like this. Blowtorching means actually on each spot till it's actually red hot, which is pretty tedious. So self-cleaning ovens is a big gift for the ovens. Liban Kal is the second level, which is heating something to a level, to a temperature, which will cause straw to burn if you put straw on it. So if you have a non-self-cleaning oven and you want to clean, and you want to kosher the oven, clean it, wait 24 hours, and then heat it to the highest temperature for an hour. Some ovens require doing this twice. So if you have an oven that has a broil and bake inside the oven. So then when you broil, you put the things on top of it, and that's the element. And when you bake, you put the elements on the bottom. So consequently, when you put the top on, the broil on, the top is the hottest it gets. When you put the bake on, the bake is the hottest it gets. You have to do both for an hour so that part of the oven becomes as hot as it ever gets. That is Liban Kal. So again, it's not going to get white hot, but if you would take a piece of straw and put it on the oven at that point, it would the straw would burn. The third level is Hagala, which is usually translated as purging, boiling, to expunge the Isur. And so typical is silverware. If you have silverware, so clean away 24 hours. Somebody actually emailed me, they were moving in to a new apartment. Newlyweds, I guess, new apartment, and the apartment was cleaned 6 weeks ago, not by them, by the guy. So they have to wait 24 hours. I said, no, you have to wait 24 hours. It's clean already. You just have to make sure that it really is clean. So Hagala, again, you have to clean away 24 hours, and then the method of Hagala is as follows. So Hagala is boiling, but the water has to be a racing boil. I mean, not just steam boil, racing boil. So to make a racing boil, you take a big pot. The pot you can use it can be a pot which is not used 24 hours. Chametz pot, Pesach pot, doesn't really matter. Just something has not been used 24 hours, and that would fill it up with water and boil it in order to keep it racing boil. If you put some nails in the bottom, that will just the metal from the bottom will keep it bubbling, and have a cover available. So if you're doing a lot of things. Every time you put silverware in, it's going to cool it off a little bit. So after 10 or 15 pieces, it's going to stop racing, and then you have to make sure it races again. So Okay, the third level, of, the fourth level of kashering is called milu v'irui, which is soaking. So a three-day glass soak. So interesting, this year I saw a few different like opinions. So in general, Ashkenazim do not hold that we should kasher glass for Pesach. Right? Sfaradim do. Sfaradim are very bikulos with glass for Pesach. Even some of the Sfaradim say they don't have to do anything for Pesach. You just use them. Wash them off and just use them. But we don't have that. Ashkenazim certainly don't use that. There are things which have been all used for cold and not used for chametz, which probably don't need a three-day soak either. So the prime example of that is wine glasses. Wine, it could be glass, it could be wine, becher, and silver, which are only used for wine, which is kosher for Pesach. Now, the truth is not all wine is kosher for Pesach, but almost all wine is kosher for Pesach. Some are kitnios, right? And if you, it depends how you wash them. So we wash them basically separate from everything else. We don't put them in the basin with everything to become fleshic or whatever, you know. So all year we don't mix them with anything else. They just have to be cleaned well, and according to Rosh Hashanah, they have to be rinsed out again. Okay. I do iri. I pour boiling water over them, which is like a chumrah. But it's a useful chumrah because maybe like when I had soup, you know, like a drop went that way and so on. So some of it depends. Like some people take the bechers off right after Kiddush. I don't. I always use my becher during the meal. So I leave it on the table. So I figured boiling water is certainly sufficient. That works if you have bechers which were used, again, only for wine. If you have bechers that you also use for schnapps, those cannot be kosher Pesach, period. You can't kosher. Things used for schnapps or things used for beer cannot be kosher at all because they absorb into it and the tams that remains there even.
But if you're can you kasher them in a chametz tikka sink? Or you have to wait until the sink is how does that work?
Okay, so this is what I do.
You have a rack.
A rack.
I remember.
We have a rack. So we use the rack. This we use for during Pesach. We use the rack and I line them up on the rack as many as fit and I pour boiling water for them, I turn them over, pour them water for them. But when you kasher you're supposed to for Pesach you're supposed to also, after you kosher, you're supposed to put it under cold water, which is called siruf. It's like making them brand new, because that's how you make brand new, is you heat steel, and then you put cold water on it. So that's for Pesach. That's based on a tefillah, which we don't say, but the Yotzros for Shabbos HaGadol, or the Yaakov Tovel, and the Rav love to quote this particular poem. So it's a whole Hilchos Pesach is all in there, in poetic form. So a piece of that is that the knives are made brand new, like brand new. So that's the issue. Okay.
Wait, so what do we do about this thing? If we don't have a rack?
I put a towel on the bottom.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I mean, so the longest sink has these 24 hours.
Okay.
I mean, the water's going to go right down. It's not, you're not putting enough water in, it's going to, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, the following items can be kosher in terms of materials. Stone, metal. Stone is not stoneware. Stoneware is not stone, but stone is stone. Metal, natural rubber, which probably is very hard to find today because most things are synthetic. Materials cannot be kosher. Plastic, melmac, nylon, china, porcelain, formica. Now, formica or plastic can be kosher for during the year, but not for Pesach. Also, just going away from Pesach, some people inherit France and China, and then what they do with it, they don't know what it is, it's a milk, it's a location, this or that, so we do allow, based on one posek, but this has been accepted in modern day, to kosher it once by Haggadah three times. So you take three big pots, you take your China one, twice, three times, and that's how you kosher it. But that's not for Pesach. Cannot be. Teflon, coinware, Corel, Pyrex, Duralex, Melmac, Silverstone, Stoneware, cannot be kosher. Okay. In order to kosher something, clean the cracks and crevices, which means it must be cleanable. So some things aren't cleanable. Like if you have a knife, which has, you know, some knives you can just see they flow nicely, and some knives have crevices between the blade and the handle. You could see, you could just see the schmutz. You just can't possibly get it out. That cannot be koshered. If you could This is a good question. If you could blowtorch that, you could blowtorch that area. You know, it depends what the knife's made of. Some items, again, are uncleanable. A sieve, a colander, kneading board, rolling pins, cake mixing bowls, grater, grinder, bread machines, toaster oven, because you can't clean them properly. Theoretically, if you can clean them, you could kosher them. You can't really clean them properly. Okay. If you have a very large pot that you need to kosher, so then you would fill that pot, again, clean away 24 hours, clean that pot, fill the pot with water all the way to the top, racing boil, and then drop in a hot rock that will flow over the sides, which is not to kosher the sides, it's to kosher the lip, because the inside and outside become kosher at the same time, but the lip has to be kosher so that the water has to overflow over the lip. All kashering must be completed before the Zman, which is, it's listed someplace, it's 11 something, I think. $11.40 in New York.
That's the last time you can eat
chametz. That's the last time you can own chametz. You can last, last time you eat chametz is 10.22. Eating chametz 10.22. That's actually in this booklet, has those times someplace hidden in there. If there was a way to like make them stand out more, I would, but okay.
Probably on the calendar also, I'm sure.
Yeah, it'll be in the shul calendar for sure. Okay. Okay, let's go to the kitchen now. So pots you can kosher through Hagala, frying pans and baking pans, theoretically kosher them through Libun Gomer microwave oven. So, I mean, self-cleaning oven. If you have a cast iron frying pan, so you can put that in the self-cleaning oven, it won't be a problem. If you have an aluminum pan, you put it in the oven, it's going to just buckle. It'll be useless, so you can't really do frying pans, baking pans, unless they're made of some material that will withstand self-cleaning. Spoons, forks, knives are made of all metal through Hagala. Kiddush cups we just talked about. Same is true about wine bottles. Wine bottles, also used for wine, can also just be cleaned out and rinsed out and used again. I know it looks a little strange to have the same bottles on the table, but that's, you know, that's fine. If you think about what our ancestors did, I guarantee our ancestors didn't have separate everything for Pesach like many people today who have like many, many different things. The candle trays should just be washed thoroughly. Candlesticks should be washed thoroughly. They're not chametz. If anything spilled on them, they spilled on them. You're not eating off them anyway. Dish towels, tablecloths can be used. There is a notion of having separate ones, like dish towels. We have dish towels, which we know makes it look like Pesach. But Api Halacha, you don't need separate dish towels. You just have to wash them, make sure they're clean. Tablecloths, same thing. Make sure they're clean. For Micah,
let's say you use the dish towels, you know, to carry hot pots. So you have hot chametz. You know, like you walk, you have a spaghetti pot, so you use the dish towels to carry the spaghetti.
Right, but if you wash out the dish towels, so the dish towels
it's not going to be boiling. It's not going to be boiling to the same.
Well, it doesn't need to be. It just needs to be cleaned out. If you're not eating off it, right? So yeah, it just needs to be cleaned out. Okay, countertops for mica is plastic. That has to be cleaned and covered. It cannot be kosher, although you will find some rabbis, some of my chaverim will say kosher for mica. I don't think it's accurate because you won't catch a plastic. You will find in the OU book, which I found, you know, some things like I see them and I think, I don't think they wrote this before. So there's a parenthesis here for those who kosher plastic. So for one particular item. So, but they don't tell you kosher plastic, but they're just telling you if you do kosher plastic, you can do that because they're talking about Keurig coffee makers. So Keurig has plastic pieces. So if you kosher plastic, okay, Keurig may be better anyway because Keurig may just be coffee. So it may be okay to kosher it because it's really not chametz to begin with. So that we'll come back to that. Okay, for mica, if it's real stone, marble, granite, can be cleaned and pour boiling water over it. All the synthetics, corian, other kinds of synthetics, have to be cleaned and covered because they're really, corian is just a fancy name for plastic.
Do you allow those steamers? A friend of mine got permission to
No. So I, I mean, I personally think that the steamer is a mistaken myth. And I'll tell you what mistaken myth I think is like this. So when caterers, when like a avad will go to a hotel and kosher like metal tables, they have an industrial, it's like a fire steamer. It's like, you know, it's like they're pushing pressured hot steam. So we don't have those. You know, people, you know, use their whatever steamer, you know, they used to steam their,
right,
you know, they're fine. So, you know, how long it takes to steam a suit. So, you know, so I don't think that's, I don't think that's really hot enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, if one has an industrial steamer, probably it could work, but I think probably not safe. Not that the boiling water is that safe, but I think the steamer is worse. Okay, high chair. So a high chair really depends how it's used. So here, OU actually says high chair should be covered with contact paper. So I think really that is an overstatement, right? I think it depends how you use a high chair. So most people, I think, put the child down and then the food. I'm sorry, put the child down and then the food, which means they don't put hot food on the high chair, right? If you put the food down and then the child, so people may put food down, then 10 minutes later bring the child. So they're putting very hot food onto the high chair. Well, then that could be chametz. You take macaroni and you put hot macaroni onto the high chair. So then the high chair says chametz. So, but I think most people do the opposite. Most people put the child down and they bring them food, you know, right, mm-hmm. like that. So I think that's the case. Then it's not going to become chametz. Something can only become chametz or treif through heat or through time. So through time, 24 hours, there's a principle called kavush kemavushal, something which is sitting in a certain liquid for 24 hours is going to be considered to be like it was cooked, like pickled. So this is a not uncommon question. Milk spilled on the chicken. So just say raw chicken. There's a raw chicken this over here and milk is on top of it. And you go, you know, you put everything in and you go and you take the chicken out to cook it and you realize there's milk on the chicken. So it depends how long the milk was on the chicken. If the milk was on the chicken for 10 minutes, you wash it off very thoroughly and it's no problem. However, if you find like it's 24 hours later, so then the milk, so basically you have just marinated your chicken in milk, right? That's what it is. So that's treif. That's considered to be like heated, kavush kemavushal, it's considered like cooked. Okay. Okay, food cabinets. So it depends what food is in there. So there are food cabinets which use only for cans, so just wipe them out and use them. There are food cabinets that are used for flour, so I think those should be, they could be wiped out, but they should also be covered, I think. But I think regular like cabinets used for cans or boxes, which are not chametz, or bottles, I think do not need to be lined. You may line them anyway just because you feel comfortable. Karen lines all the cabinets, okay, but, you know.
Rabbi, can I ask you, if you have an item in your pantry, it's a can or whatever, and it's kosher Passover, but it's with everything all year long,
wipe it off.
Just wipe it off, even if it's with like flour on your top shelf.
Well, wipe, so wash it off.
Okay.
So wash it off. Make sure it's I mean, I just the general principle is your kitchen is not worse than the supermarket. So you don't know how much they can in the supermarket, but you know, so you just have to make sure the can is not you know, offensive, so to speak. Okay. Okay. Dish cabinets again. You could just, you know, change the dishes, wipe them out, wipe out the cabinet. The fridge. I'm not reading from this, but it's just material to take home. It's also it's the same stuff as on the website, but. Okay, the fridge should be cleaned. The fridge should be cleaned. Really, it has to be taken apart because you probably know when you take apart your fridge, you find stuff in the back, right? Some stuff fell down. Really? That was there? It was there. Okay. But other than that, you don't really have to line it. Some people feel you should line it. If you do line it, make sure you make holes in the grates so that the air passes through. Otherwise, you're going to ruin your food and your refrigerator both. But in terms of halakha for Pesach, I think you don't really have to line it. If there are things that you put in that are directly hot, so I think probably it's prudent to put something under it anyway. But, you know, just so you're not transferring heat from, right? So put it on a, whatever, paper plate, something like that. Okay, the sink needs to be koshered by boiling water. If it's, again, made of metal, it can be koshered. If it's made of corian, it really cannot be koshered. If it's made of porcelain, it can't be koshered. So then you need to do something. So what can you do? So they do sell big sinks. I don't think you need them, but you could use them, or you could use tubs, right? Which we use, you know. So that's the olden days. We have milk tub, we have fleshy tub. So that we have a tub, and that's, I do kosher the sink. We have a metal sink, but we have one sink. I know it's shocking. We have one sink. Ancient times, right? But that's what my mother had. So yes, we have still. Okay, but in any event, the sink should be kosher for Pesach, or use inserts which are Pesavik. Blenders, if they have a separate totally enclosed housing, you can replace and use the blender base. If not, you need a new blender. A blech. I wrote you a new blech. I saw someplace, was it here? Which I was like, also interesting. I don't recommend this, but it did give this idea that you can, if you want, you can kosher your blech by cleaning it, wait 24 hours, turn it over, put it on top of your stove with all the burners on. And I thought, that's not a good recipe for the stovetop, especially if it's glass or ceramic or enamel and so on. But anyway, it might work for the blech, but it's a good idea to have a new blech instead of blech for Pesach.
I think you said earlier okay. That you could just put heavy-duty foil over the whole thing, the knobs, the whole, instead of going and buying a Pesach blech.
Okay, so in terms of the stovetop, you're talking about the stovetop?
Instead of the blech on the stovetop. Can you use heavy-duty foil?
I'm talking about blech, the Shabbos blech.
Yeah, Shabbos.
No, for Shabbos. Okay.
Oh, you mean you're talking about a hot plate?
No, blech.
Yeah, blech.
For Shabbos. Over the burners.
Correct. So I'm saying, so instead of buying a new piece of aluminum, one year I have notes that you said you could just put aluminum foil over it, make sure you cover the knobs, and you're done.
You could do that, yeah.
It's okay?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You could do that. As a blech. Okay. Let's talk about the stovetop. So the stovetop, if you have a gas stovetop, let's suppose you have I'll call it a classic glass stovetop. Fire, grates, that's it, right? And you have something underneath the grates. So in order to kosher the grates, there are two basic methods. One method is to self-clean them. I know people think it will ruin them, but I've been doing this for years and years, although I think we have another set now, I can't remember. I don't think we have another set. But anyway, they do self-clean. But if you don't want to self-clean them, you can put on each burner, either all at once or one at a time, each burner the highest flame for at least 15 minutes. One of them said a half hour, but I'm sticking by 15 minutes, I think it's enough. Put a pot on it to spread the flame, and put water in the pot so the pot doesn't burn. Again, the pot should just be something not used in 24 hours. It doesn't really matter what kind of pot it was. You can do them all at once if you have a blech and you have a stainless stainless steel top what do you call it? Black, I'm blank.
But you can use any pot. It doesn't have to be Pesach.
You can use any pot. It's just the pot that has to use 24 hours to spread the flame. And 15 minutes, basically the flames, the high flame is, the purpose of spreading the flame is so you get to wherever it might get in the grate. Additionally, you have to cover the stovetop. So that you can do with foil, right? Unless you do the whole stovetop and kosher the whole stovetop by putting a blech on, doing the whole thing at once. But otherwise, the middle is not going to be kosher, so you need to put something underneath. So I take off all the grates and put aluminum foil across the whole thing. I make holes, right, for all the fire, and then I put the grates back on, and therefore the whole stovetop is covered. If you don't do that, then you can't put things down on the stovetop. That's the main function.
But if you're a stainless steel, you're okay. I can, right? Do the boiling just like I would do anything. Clean it well and then...
Yes, okay, so you can. Yes, my old stovetop, actually the stovetop was stainless steel and it came off.
Right.
This one doesn't. But that one came off and I used to also, I would pour boiling water, I would take the whole thing, pour it, but I still covered it. But you don't have to cover it.
Okay.
You don't have to cover it.
But how about the knobs, which are like...
Is rubber or something around
it. It's not rubber, but it's like a heavy-duty plastic. So I take them off and I scrub them.
Isn't that the ones like at the front of the stove?
Yeah, the one you lift up. I can lift them off and clean them.
You're talking about the cover of the gas?
The plastic knobs. No, the one that turns, ignites.
You have knobs on top.
I have knobs like knobs in the front.
Okay.
So I can remove them. And
yeah, wash them off. Wash them off, put them back.
Okay.
Don't leave them on while you're...
Under the grate, on top of the heating element, I have these little black, round, they look like they're painted.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that get koshered in the process of the popping on top?
Yeah, yeah, because the flame is actually directly on that when you put the flame on. Yeah. Yeah.
Should you cover the stove after you kosher it or before you kosher it?
I think after, functionally, I think after you kosher it.
You don't need to put aluminum foil on the grates.
What is it?
You don't need to put aluminum foil on the grates.
On the grates? So some say you do. I don't think you do.
If you do that, that should be done after you kosher them.
Yeah, yeah.
So the stovetop, if you have four burners.
Right.
And they're covering the whole stovetop. So there's no place to put something on the stovetop aside from putting them on the burners.
Okay.
Right? I mean, the burners are just...
Right, okay. Yeah, my stovetop's like that now. I mean, theoretically there are places to put it, but yeah, the grates cover the whole thing.
Right, it covers the whole thing. So, except for the fact that like a carrot may get, you know... fall underneath, and then that carrot
will be
can't
be
used.
No grit, right.
But other than that, if you're just using the grates, the bottom part,
the stovetop
is treif, or not pesetik, but it's also getting heated by the spread of the flame.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't count on it as being...
I still think it needs to be covered. I think it's recovered. It's more or less like a Formica counter. You could say, for my counter, I'm not putting anything on it. I always put things on trivets.
Right.
You still have to cover the counter. It's, in a way, it's similar, if you will, like you have kelim that are chametz, right? And you clean them and you put them away. We don't sell the kelim. We sell the chametz in the kelim if there is any, right? But we don't sell the kelim. But the kelim have to be put away. I came across a very interesting halacha this week that if you didn't scrub your pots before Pesach, you should scrub them on Pesach. I don't think you should do this, right? But this was brought down. Why? Because you might find stuff on the pots. Okay, so, but the point is they're put away, they're covered, because they're chametz. So that's the same thing. The stovetop, even if you're not using it, it's not being quote-unquote kosher, it's still to be covered.
I mean, Mort likes to put it away. So.
What is it?
Mort to like put it away.
To put it away, right.
Why would you have to scrub the pot? I mean, if you're selling it, it's not yours anyway.
You might have stuff on them. The assumption is you might have stuff on them. Okay, so think about a macaroni pot.
Right.
Maybe a piece of macaroni is left there. That's what it means, scrub the pot. It doesn't mean...
Right, no, I understand why you said like there might be something, but if you're selling whatever chametz you have anyway, I mean, wouldn't that be considered...
Yeah, so in the discussion... There's a discussion about if you didn't say betel, this was in the conclusion of this particular paragraph. If you didn't nullify your chametz, then you have to take out your pots. If when you remember, you have to take out your pots and scrub them even on Chol HaMoed. But if you did betel, then when you take your pots out and you didn't scrub them before, you should scrub them after Pesach. And the context is you have chametz which was Avrelo Pesach. You have chametz which was right. Okay.
It's not even yours because you sold it.
I'm just telling you, this is in the paragraph. It's in a Dershu. It's a safer. Yes.
I'm just looking at something in my notes. It says that you're not allowed to put hot pots down on the counter because probably put down a chametz pot on the counter. Does that apply to granite? If you kosher the granite, isn't it?
If you kosher granite, you could put something on it.
You can. So yeah. It does not apply to granite.
Right.
I can put my pots down on my regular.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Okay. Good night. Anybody have an electric stovetop? So we'll skip it. Okay. Good. Microwave ovens. So clean thoroughly, wait 24 hours. So this is what I have written down here, and I think there's another solution here. Fill container with boiling water, heat in microwave oven until steaming for 60 seconds, and now it's kosher. The OU says... Glass turntable should be removed. Well, I don't know. Glass turntable should be removed. There's no way to kosher the turntable, or the floor for that matter. The styrofoam cup should be filled with water, boiled in a microwave for 10 minutes. Cup should be filled, moved to another spot, right? That's what he says. He says you should do it twice. The process repeated for 10 more minutes. cardboard or contact tape should be taped over the glass window pane for the duration of Passover. I think in my booklet I wrote, cover it with something, but you can cover it with saran wrap. It's just something which is, so you can see through it if you want. But the point is you can't really cover it, you can't kosher the glass door. So that's why you have to cover it. Okay, urns can be koshered by Hagala. Same is true about teapots. He had teapots here.
Fiyantiv, you can, if I remember, you can use the instant hot up to a certain amount. Is that
so? An instant hot, right? This is a general Yantiv question, so we'll talk about koshering in a second. Yes, the general principle, instant hot, you can take enough at instant hot so that it won't go on. So you should test it before Yantiv and see. If you can take 3 cups out before it goes on, you can take 2 cups out.
Okay.
At a time. Right? And that was basically,
just enough not to try.
You want to make sure that you're not going to cause it to go on immediately.
Okay.
Yeah. In terms of koshering it, basically just run it through and pour boiling water over it. Meaning let boiling water come out of it for 15 seconds. Clean it, pour boiling water over it, and then let boiling water come out of it. The same is true about a water cooler and heater. If you have like one of these, you know, with the 5-gallon things that goes on top. The same is true also there. Run the hot water through, pour boiling water over the spigots, change the water, right? And that should be okay. Tabletops should be cleaned and covered, and they should be left covered. Meaning, you can't kosher a tabletop. So if you have to cover the tabletop, of course clean it, but it has to be covered. It should remain covered. The whole Pesach we have in my house, it's like we have these... they make corrugated plastic to cover counters with. So we have that also for the table. On top of the table, I then take a plastic tablecloth, which I tape completely underneath it. And that now is my new tabletop. And on top of that, we put tablecloths.
Right? You can't just use the plastic? Why have you do plastic over the...
Yeah. I'll just tell you what we do. It's not, yeah. You don't need the plastic corrugated.
Is it recommended to get the corrugated? I mean, is it better? They're like table pads. I have table pads.
No, but I cut it to fit already, so I'm going to keep using it.
Okay.
I don't think you really need it. I don't really know like why I did it the first time. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, no, as long as it's covered, heavy-duty plastic is fine.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about food, I guess. This is what I wanted to hear. So, kidneyos. So, the question, like, what's kidneyos? These are all kidneyos. I don't think I put it in the list anyplace. If I remember, I will. All beans, buckwheat, and kasha, caraway. What's a long list here? Never heard of this. Cardamom, chickpeas, corn, fennel, fenugreek, grains of paradise, lentils, millet. Mustard, peas, poppy seeds, rapeseed, canola, rice, sesame seeds, snow peas, sorghum, sugar snap peas, okay, soybeans, sunflower seeds, all kidneyos. So Moshe Fein says about peanuts being, I don't think they make it anymore. Peanut oil used to be like the main oil that was available, so Moshe had a shuv about it. I don't even think we use it anymore.
Seeds or kidneyos?
Wow. Well, what is it?
The old seeds? Like you said, sunflower seeds. What about like pumpkin seeds or anything?
No, pumpkin seeds are... No. Things that are seeds of a regular fruit, like pumpkin seeds or like watermelon seeds, are not. It's basically that the fruit is the seed. That those are the kidneyos. On the page. Okay. What's on the page is...
You gave him, right?
What is it?
It's not the page that you gave me?
No. I always have 4 pages. The 4th page is about other items. So, I can remember what's on. This is like in my mother's house. Open all the chickens before Pesach. I'm not sure if you have to do that anymore.
Really? You can buy whole chickens? Is that what you said?
I said open the chickens before Pesach.
Oh, but you can't buy them during Chol HaMoed whole chickens anymore.
So it's I'll put it this way. It's a moderate risk, low risk. I have had this vision from when I was between 5 and 8 years old, probably on last year's tape also, because I know where I was living between 5 and 8 years old. And at the Seder, somebody who was a guest, who I still remember who the guest was even, so I'm maybe lamenting for the, inside his piece of chicken was a piece of corn. The corn, kidney, it's okay. There was a whole piece of corn. Well, fine, what if that was a whole piece of wheat? I wouldn't recognize it, I guess, anyway, because I don't know what wheat looks like, really. But the point is, if it was a whole piece of wheat, it would have meant the chicken was chametz, the pot was chametz. I mean, it's like you, right? So, but I could also tell you, I haven't seen a piece of corn in a chicken since since then. Since then. What's that?
You can buy parts, I mean.
You can buy parts, yeah, yeah. I'm not, you know, this is like a chumra for my house. So, there are certain items that you can buy before Pesach without a hechsher, a lot of them. Primarily milk, eggs, and on one of the lists I sent out, oh, actually, the list I just gave you at the bottom of the page, that page is a whole list of things which don't need a hechsher at all. Right, it's a long page. But right, it's a whole list of things that don't even have to create it. Right?
Water.
Water. Yeah. Even water, actually regular seltzer. I could run through a list here.
Yeah. Wait, what'd you say about seltzer?
Regular plain seltzer. You can just buy before Pesach.
Doesn't need an OUP?
Plain seltzer doesn't need anything. You can buy before Pesach.
Doesn't need a
hechsher?
Oh, you see
plain seltzer does. Plain seltzer doesn't need a hechsher in general.
So that's where the ohu starts. The book is a little different.
So I thought paper towels. I thought there aren't.
So paper towels is the notion about the glue. So don't use the first piece or last piece with the glue on.
So any paper towels are okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And paper plates if they're coated, not coated.
Paper plates. So yeah, I should look at my booklet here. What did I write here? It's not here. It's on the other page.
It says here plates. Paper,
what did I write there?
I mean, you just say they don't. Maybe use without, but
paste, what? Paper, plastic, styrofoam. Yes, I think with the exception of the, you know, the real cheap paper plates, which like you can almost feel the starch in them. Maybe it's not starch, but otherwise all the coated plates
really?
Are considered to be okay today.
This is shocking.
I'm always questioning about the hot. I mean, this is my own question, which I never resolved about using. Hot. So here he says like this. This is from the CRC guide. Plates. What's a check mean? A check means acceptable without specification. Purchased before Passover, including paper, plastic, and styrofoam, may be used for hot or cold.
So that doesn't have to have an OU either?
No.
What?
No, things like foil need an OU because foil is, foil typically has some kind of oil on it. Or could have oil on it, then pans, the same thing. So that's why they need an OU.
Oh, but it says here that it doesn't, though.
Where? What?
It says it needs an OUP or just an OU. Here it says aluminum foil baking pans. And it also, I think it's, and it says aluminum foil.
Does not need any?
Does not, it says it doesn't need a P. Are you saying it does need
a P? No, it doesn't need a P. It needs
an OU. But it still needs an OU.
It shouldn't have an OU. Yeah, that's not
so clear. It just needs an OU.
Should have an OU.
How about
that's in general. That's not a Pesach issue.
Course,
that's a general
course,
conscious
I know
issue.
That. But about, nothing, okay.
How about parchment paper and wax paper? Is an OU okay. Sufficient?
Oh, staying over here.
Parchment
over
paper
here.
Is
here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think on the
because
list,
I saw
all
things that said plastic.
Parchment paper, according to him, must bear reliable Pesach certification. I believe that.
So it does.
What does the OU say?
They're saying no.
I love this.
Is it, what does the OU say? It's okay?
I don't know.
The OU, I
couldn't
find it.
I don't know.
Got to ask your mom.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll go ask them when I find them. Where's the list?
And you said the gloves, 62. Is a latex glove okay, or just the powder is the issue?
Yeah, just the powder. Latex doesn't matter. I mean, latex is just plastic, so.
Yeah.
Also, Rabbi, if we're going to buy a book to be looking things up.
Yeah, so the OU does not say... parchment paper in its list.
means it doesn't need.
But it needs to know you.
Right. It does need it.
It needs to know you, but not parchment know doesn't. Your P.
Parchment. No, parchment. No, parchment needs, P. Period. Parchment needs a P. Let me see if there is. Where would it be?
The wax.
Baking needs? Is that the card?
Paper and plastic, Geffen and Geula. So make parchment paper. So probably the kosher stores have them.
They
Geffen
do.
And Geula have an OUP.
But, you need like those. Kirkland has an OU, but not an OUP.
Not good.
Not good.
Rabbi, which book should we buy? There's so many books in the stores about what. Okay, you know when they list items, we just buy that OU.
I think the OU. This list is on the website, CRC list, right? And this is a very good list. CRC is Rabbi Eliezer Schwartz, who's now based in America, very liable. He actually was a rav in Borough Park in the olden days. And he's a big Gadol Talmid Chacham. And so this is based on his Piskei Halacha. I don't think he's doing this anymore.
Who is that?
This CRC.
What is the name
if
of
you
the
go
rabbi?
To, was it?
What's the name of the rabbi?
Rakadaya Dov Schwartz. He's about Leon Harab, his 90s, I think. But he's,
so that's it. You know, like OU says something about the seltzer needing an OUP.
About the what?
That seltzer needs an OUP.
Seltzer?
Maybe flavored. Maybe not
maybe
plain.
Just flavored?
Flavored.
So it's just
maybe
that
not
plain,
plain
seltzer.
Yeah.
It's, anything is fine. Okay. Take it back
from
the closet.
A lot of them already have, like if you have a shop right or anything.
No, it doesn't list it here, but anyway, that's
okay, so
that is the case.
Okay, fine. So plain.
Plain seltzer is certainly okay. It doesn't say it here. It probably does say it here.
Before see, Pesach, though, so not
see,
on Pesach.
Not on Pesach, right? On Pesach, really, you shouldn't buy anything without a P. Yeah. Oh, it's interesting. Seltzer. That's so interesting.
What's yeah. He say?
He doesn't differentiate, but I'll still remember what I say. Plain seltzer doesn't need it. It just says seltzer. He doesn't talk about flavored and unflavored.
And what's he say that it doesn't need?
It does need. It does need.
But
it doesn't differentiate. I think, but I still think that plain seltzer doesn't need it.
Carbon dioxide. Does not need
what is it?
Where you get the carbon dioxide from to make the bubbles.
Well, fine, but if you buy it before Pesach, it's not solely not chametz.
Okay, it's a part of
it. So.
In SodaStream, if you make your own seltzer.
You can make your own seltzer. If you
bottles.
Make flavors.
No, forget about the flavors, but just the thing itself, just have separate bottles. Pesach.
I don't think you need separate bottles. You need to wash them out well. If you only use them for non-flavors, so then you've been using them the same year for the whole thing. He actually says that. That's actually in here somewhere. SodaStream. I saw it somewhere in here. Oh, here it is, carbonation, soda stream. Oh, it doesn't talk about, it says carbon dioxide cylinders, carbon dioxide gas filling. It does not need a P.
Yeah, but
I wrote it on, yeah. Yeah. That was based on a psak of Rabbi Willig a couple of years ago. So I don't think he's changed his mind on that. Let me just look what else is here. Anyway, this list is on the. It's a very good list. It's in the email. You can actually see it on the email, but also it's linked in the email. It's a CRC, and if you want to look for other things, it's crcweb.org is their website. CRC actually is Christian something or other, but crcweb.org is there. It's theirs, and it's all. The thing is, it's nice. It's all color coded and checked, and it's got marked. Okay. Any questions?
I'm stuck on the paper plates. There's something here that says paper plates can be used, but not for hot, unless they're.
Where does it say that? Yeah. So that was my.
Notes.
So I always thought that, and I think that probably used to be the. Opinion of almost everybody, but here it doesn't say that in the OU. It just says plates, paper, plastic, or styrofoam, and here it says the same thing.
Okay.
It says, and here specifically in the CRC it says, maybe used for hot and cold.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. What right? was the concern?
I think the concern was that if the plate had something inside it, then the heat is going to draw that out, and if it's cold, so what's it going to draw out? So, but apparently enough investigation was done that they're not concerned about that anymore. Interesting. The Rothmanstein wishes to affirm the products available on the East Coast, either with no UP or a CRCP13 on yellow caps, are okay. Apparently, in Chicago, in Illinois, the yellow caps have CRCP13 on them, and some of them are sent to the East Coast. So if you see them, they're good. It's not a fake arrow. Okay.
Rabbi, can I ask you two questions?
Mm-hmm.
Women and the Arbicosos as far as wine versus grape juice?
Oh, that's a very good question. So women and men are the same. It sounds like a chumrah, but it's not a chumrah. So the Chazon Ish is very fascinating. Is this in here? I think it's in this booklet. I didn't write this part, but the Chazon Ish, who was known to have the largest shear for the Arbicosos, used grape juice. Yes, a few things I have to say there. So, first of all, men and women are equally obligated in the Seder, in all the whatever we eat, and so on and so forth. One must eat a kazayis matzah for the motzi matzah. There is a minhag to eat two kazayim for the motzi matzah. The standard, this is based on Moshe, you can find these cards in the stores and different haggadahs. The standard Moshe Feinstein felt was 6.6 by 4 inches. If you go into like different websites, you could find, of course, there are different matzahs that have different thicknesses. So they're not all the same. It's based on condensing, crushing the matzah and fitting into a certain amount of, you know, volume. So, but that's generally the notion that the Shmur matzah is 6.4 inches for the motzi matzah. For korech is a little less, 6 by 3 inches. This is all in what I sent you on page 3 of what I sent. The afikomen also 6 by 4. And where are we here? The wine. Yeah, I wrote 3.3. I think it's 3.34, as Moshe Feinstein says. So when it comes out Friday night, the first kos d'oraisa, the 4 cups of the rabbanon, rabbinic. So therefore the shear is a little more lenient. But Friday night, when it comes Friday night, the first kos is the Torah law, is the d'oraisa. So therefore that kos requires a more strict shear, which is 4.42 ounces. So that's what I generally have. My kos, I take a 4.42 ounce kos. I have like 4.5 ounce kos, there's a lot of them. And that's what I use, and that's because what I give out the Seder. But 3.3 is enough. 3.34. It is beneficial to have, frankly, cups which are closer to the shear rather than big cups, because you're supposed to have a row of kos. So if you have a huge kos, it's gorgeous, but then you're not drinking a row of kos. You're not drinking a majority of the cup. Moror, the amounts are 3.5 ounces of stalks, 10 by 8 inches of leaves, you know, stretch the leaf out. 1.1 fluid ounces of horseradish compacted into that. Any of those or a combination thereof.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, this was a big issue last year. The wash that washes the leaves, you know, the vegetable wash, was sold in Aaron's.
Oh, it's not Pesach.
But it's not Pesach. So we spoke to the Rav, I don't know if I spoke to you about this last
right.
year. We spoke to the supervising Rav at Aaron's. He didn't know what he was, he had right. no concept. So we ended up not using it, and I don't know what we did, but what's the answer to that? Is that wash supposed to be Pesach, or it's low, you know, lower Lachil Kelev, or?
Well, it has to be Lachil Kelev, otherwise they wouldn't use it to wash vegetables.
Well, you wash it off, I guess.
Yeah, no, but you couldn't.
You can't wash everything off.
Yeah,
okay, so
yeah, but no, you they wouldn't use a wash that was not edible.
Right.
I don't mean it's made to eat, but it's not edible.
Your concern is washing off the chemicals?
I thought there was some ones here. I went to the island.
That's probably best at that point.
I'm just trying to look a little bit.
If you go, I will say this, if you go to the CRC website, I happen to notice this today for the first time, there is a video guide to washing vegetables on the CRC web, crcweb.org. All right? So I didn't look at it. But
video
there is,
guide for Pesach or in general?
No, I think it's in general, but it was under the Pesach.
It was under Pesach, okay.
I was looking for Pesach, and I actually thought I was clicking on a list, and I ended up clicking on a video, and I said, oh, and I turned it off because I wasn't really interested. I buy katif lettuce, basically, you know, that I still wash it off, but I don't wash it off in soap. I wash it off, I break the whole thing up, I wash it and put it in a basin in lukewarm water, I let it sit there for a few minutes, and I wash it all off and I put it away. Other questions? What's that?
Can I ask another question?
Sure. There's no limit. There's no limit.
Is there like a guiding principle for cosmetics and creams and soaps and...
Yeah.
Like a principle that we can... It's going to look up every single...
Yeah,
like
so...
Like if my soap has oatmeal, it's okay, right?
Okay. No, oatmeal is not okay.
It's not okay?
No.
Lemon oatmeal is okay.
Because oatmeal is hummus.
Right, but isn't it so processed that it's no longer, like, you can't even see the oatmeal?
I don't think so. Let me...
Oh, no.
Okay, now I sent out, this is also on CRC, I sent out from them, but I sent out, it's on page 3 of the guide. Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah. So the first 2 pages is food.
Right. There we are. It says here all varieties of body soap, bars of soap, shampoos,
and the third page, what is it?
Are permitted on Pesach regardless of their ingredients.
Say it again.
All varieties of body soaps, bars of soaps, shampoos, stick deodorants, cosmetic powders, baby powders.
There you go.
Are permitted for use on Pesach regardless of their ingredients.
Never mind.
I didn't
make this up. This was taken directly from the CRC web, Rabbi Gedalia Schwartz. So I may have reworded it, but that's what he says. So obviously that's okay.
Okay, and baby powders that have cornstarch.
I just can't imagine a vino. What is that?
Baby powders that have cornstarch.
No, that doesn't matter. Don't eat it.
Okay.
The mouthwashes. Do they have to have
oils? No, the mouthwashes need. I sent that. That's today. Mouthwashes.
I see a few.
That's on that list there, right. So that's not a full list. It's a list of what I could find. That's why I said I got the abbreviated list from Roy Bess. If I get a longer list, it'll be available in the office. That's why it will be available. Usually this list says is available, but I didn't get it yet. Usually I get it in the mail. It didn't come yet, so I'll see if I can find one of the stores.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's very hard to find.
You mean the book that you usually have?
Roy Bess's book.
Right, so, okay. I usually look it up.
I don't know why it didn't come. What is it?
Listerine is always good.
Listerine is on here.
Listerine's good.
Listerine, Cool Mint, Soft Mint, and Total Care Zero.
Only those.
There's
flavors.
Also a Colgate, but Scope is all good.
It's interesting. I saw Colgate on somebody's list, and I didn't see it on the abbreviated list of Rabbi Bess. It doesn't mean it's not on there.
So if I went on to CRC, they have a full list?
No.
Oh.
No. The full list is Rabbi Gershom Bess from Los Angeles, California. It's a book. It's like 80 pages. It's a list of medicines and cosmetics. So it gives like Alme, like 50 of these. And lipsticks, like 50 of those. Maybe more. So it's a list. So the list is available in the office once I get it. Okay. I always make the copies. I have one at home. Linda has one. There's one upstairs in my office. You know, but I didn't get it. So yet. It usually comes in the mail. I didn't get it yet. So if
Wait,
I don't get it,
just confused.
By Thursday, I'll buy it.
The list of cosmetics.
Okay. You just read something that included cosmetics from CRC.
You're yes. Okay. That
okay.
Needs
so
80-page list.
Okay. So there are certain things that do need, like lipstick. right?
Like eyeshadow and...
No, those are... Here.
Probably to be near your mouth.
All types of ointments, creams, nail polish, hand lotion, eyeshadow, eyeliner, mascara, blush, foundation, food and face powders, and ink and paint may be used regardless of their ingredients. The exception to the, I'll call it the cosmetic lists, are things that go in your mouth,
okay,
which is lipstick, right? And certain liquids that have denatured alcohol, which by nature are edible, because they don't make them poison. They make them edible, right? So there are some liquid, so many liquid colognes, perfumes, hairspray, shaving lotions, and deodorants contain denatured alcohol. It should not be used unless they are listed as chametz-free on a reliable Pesach list. So that's why the next page has, it has deodorants. I mean, if I start with perfumes, it's like 1,000 perfumes. But they're in, that's the point, they're in Rabbi Bess's book, which I don't have yet.
Rabbi, what is denatured alcohol? Is that...
I assume it means it's made from wheat.
Okay, but I'm saying like alcohol that we use, isopropyl...
No, isopropyl is fine. Isopropyl is fine. Denatured alcohol is specifically made from grain.
And it'll say denatured alcohol as...
Yes, correct.
But it's not covered up by some name.
No.
Okay.
Denatured alcohol, right.
And those, something that has denatured alcohol has to be sold as chametz or thrown out or whatever?
If it's liquid.
Uh-huh.
Liquid, because...
Not as an ingredient.
If it's part of a liquid...
But what's deodorant?
Yeah, well, liquid deodorant. Deodorant's liquids. I mean, it's not, it's like, speed stick is not a liquid,
but I mean,
right?
If it's a spray.
The sprays are liquids. Liquid. Roll-ons are liquids.
Blood.
Okay, what is it?
Now there's seasonal depression. Seasonal anxiety.
You can take any pills without a half sure.
What about toothpaste?
Perfect.
What?
Toothpaste
also, there's a list.
Is it this?
It's on there.
Well, I think
it's on that page.
It's always a promise.
It's on that page. It's on the back of this page.
Okay. Just right?
Don't
crest is
the issue.
Crest is an issue, right?
What?
Crest has been an issue.
Crest is an issue, and I didn't see it on any list this year. So it's still an issue. But I didn't, as I said, I didn't get the main list, but I'm convinced that if Crest was okay, it would have been on the short list of approved products, because everybody wants to know about Crest, because that's a common... I mean, most people use Crest or Colgate, and I think, frankly, more people Crest than Colgate, based on my own empirical evidence of how many people left about Crest and how many people left about Colgate.